The latest political buzzword can be found in over a dozen op-eds touting to the highest heaven what is being called the Obama Doctrine. For instance, in the Rothschild Bankers magazine, The Economist, an op-ed feature titled The Birth of the Obama Doctrine appeared this week, praising the president for his new dogma of humanitarian military intervention launched in Libya. As the magazine sees it, the Obama Doctrine will either sweep Gaddafi from power or reduce the Libyan chief to impotence as he hunkers down in some desert bunker.
Of course, there is no question that Libya and the world would be better off with Gaddafi out of power.
Thus, The Economist concludes, the Obama Doctrine, with its promising beginnings in Libya, will be remembered as an extraordinary foreign policy success. But let's back up a little bit and apply the scalpel to this newfangled dogma as it's being spewed forth from the Zionist-inspired White House Oval Office. First of all, the Obama Doctrine replaces the war authority of Congress with the UN. As Rand Paul pointed out in his recent address to the Senate, Obama neither consulted Congress nor sought a resolution for an attack on Libya.
And the president now is going to engage us in a third war without any consultation, without any voting in Congress, and without any congressional authority.
Instead, Obama got his authorization for war not from Congress, but from the UN, a clear sign of Obama's disdain for the U.S. Constitution. Secondly, the Obama Doctrine displaces the support of the American people of yet another U.S. war with the backing of the international community, thus subverting and undermining the sovereignty of America. Third, the Obama Doctrine doesn't clearly define the U.S. mission in Libya, but under the pretext of humanitarian military intervention, allows the attack to expand in unseen directions, regardless of the bloodshed and chaos it will cause. And fourth, and most frightening of all, by the Obama Doctrine, appealing to the UN rather than Congress, a precedent is set for a world body influenced by Zionist Jewish money to decide what leaders are to be toppled and what leaders are to be propped up, forcing nations on the march to a one-world Zionist governance. All told, one aspect of the Obama Doctrine is crystal clear. U.S. funding for the genocidal state of Israel remains intact. AIPAC, the powerful Jewish lobby that no politician dares to oppose, recently posted on their website Obama's promise of $3 billion in aid to Israel for fiscal year 2011.
This is a bond that must be strengthened.
The posting begins with a propagandizing headline, U.S. funding to Israel vital for U.S. national security. Oh yeah, sure. Already the vast majority of Republican freshmen in the Senate have signed on to a letter foisted upon them by the Jewish lobby committing to the $3 billion a year aid package to Israel, which millions of unemployed Americans who have lost their homes could have used instead. Bottom line, either play ball with the Jewish lobby or your political career on Capitol Hill is over. And with Obama seeking re-election in 2012, his Zionist-scripted Obama Doctrine will fetch him the votes, the media hype, and the money the Jewish lobby provides to those who submit, surrender, and succumb to their doctrine to rule not only America, but the entire world as well.